Well, I figure that people are probably eating while they're listening to this, so I'm sure it's okay if we eat while we record it, right?
Right. I mean, you gotta eat to survive. I mean,
It's important.
it's how we stay alive as human beings.
Exactly. Craig's here. Ryan, you're here. I'm Tony.
Welcome.
I'm here. Our fans, our thousands of fans, adoring fans, they're here. It's TH Fantasy episode 33.
Yes, welcome back. Number
Kings of the North.
33. That's right. This is the North.
We did the North, which means we're done with our team recaps. No clue what we're doing from here, but we'll figure something out, right?
Yep, we'll figure it out.
'Cause you're going off the grid again next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm gonna be in a place that don't have good reception. So,
Yeah.
my last trip, I was able to have good reception, so we were able to record still, but.
You know, there's people that listen to this podcast that aren't from the Midwest, and I don't think they understand that the state of Wisconsin doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
Like the whole state.
they're like, why? They're if you ask someone from Wisconsin about Wi-Fi, they're like, wait, what do you mean, brats?
Right, is that some kind of cheese?
Is that kind of like Cheddarwurst brat? Is that like is that a new type of sausage?
Exactly. Oh yeah, we got some Wi-Fis out on the grill right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ryan will be off the grid next week. We're still gonna come at you with probably some guest hosts just to shoot the breeze. But a couple weeks we'll be back to full strength. Craig, you're still on double secret probation. So let's just get into it, man, because last episode was our longest episode ever, and I gotta tell you, I had a lot of fun doing it, but editing it, not so much.
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll try to make this one a little bit shorter.
So
But you never know.
I started last time.
Okay.
So do you want to start? Because you did the NFC, I did the AFC. Do you want to start this week?
Yeah, so this week I did the NFC North. We're gonna start off with the Minnesota Vikings.
All
Just
right.
'cause a lot of their team didn't change. They still have Cook, Madison, Jefferson, Thielen, KJ Osborne.
Irv Smith is back.
Yeah, Irv Smith's back. They also still have CJ Ham. They also got that Smith Marset guy who could potentially be really good this year. So like a lot of their offense really didn't change. They didn't do very many free agent moves. They had a lot of draft picks, but let's start off. So their new head coach this year is Kevin O'Donnell. He actually could bring some really good stuff to this team. He was, if you don't know, he was the Rams offensive coordinator last year,
Oh, okay.
for when they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So potential good offensive mind to roll with. I mean, Minnesota on paper's got really good wide receivers and running backs, and all around offense. But they still have Kirk Cousins
Right.
throwing to them, so it's kind of a hindrance. But
Do you think that this means with this offensive coordinator, do you think this means they're going to force feed Justin Jefferson even more so than they did before?
maybe, but this offensive coordinator is now the new head coach.
Right, sure. Okay.
So their offensive coordinator is Wes Phillips. Should be a good complement to that coach. Their defensive coordinator is Ed Donatell. Their special teams coordinator is Matt Daniels, and assistant head coach Mike Pettine. So like we said, we all knew Mike Zimmer was the head coach last year, and obviously he got the boot.
He sure did.
So some notable players that left the team this year is mostly defensive players. They lost Rashad Hill at outside guard. That's one of the notable
Sure. Yeah.
offensive players. But they lost Nick Vigil on defense, a linebacker. They lost Anthony Barr, Mackenzie Alexander at corner, and Sheldon Richardson at defensive tackle. So they lost a some good names at defense. So that's going to be something they need to work on this year. You can put up 38 points, but if you're defense is a sieve, it ain't going to matter. You're just going to get in shootouts the entire year.
True.
Let's see. What did the Minnesota Vikings do in free agency?
Well, they also, like, before we get too far, they got rid of Conklin at tight end.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He wasn't a huge contributor, but for those of us that are fantasy guys that are like, really, really desperate, Conklin sometimes was a decent bye week guy.
Right. But they're confident in Irv Smith, so.
They should be. He's much better than Tyler Conklin, as far as I know.
Right. So just like I said, like, they let go, or whatever, they let go a bunch of defensive players. They picked up a decent amount of defensive players in free agency. Julian Taylor at defensive tackle. They picked up Nate Harrison at cornerback. Chandler Sullivan at cornerback. They picked up Jordan Hicks, linebacker. We all know who Jordan Hicks is. They picked up Harrison Phillips, defensive tackle, who was a starting Bills tackle for the last three seasons. And on offense, they picked up a new O-lineman, Jesse Davis. They also picked up an interesting tight end to complement Irv Smith. Johnny Munt, someone you don't hear about a lot because he didn't really do a lot, but right. he played for the Rams for the last two seasons, so he has some rapport with the new head coach, who was the offensive coordinator for them. So could be he could come out of nowhere this year and do some nice things just because of the coach might put him in the offensive scheme or get some plays to him or something, you know.
Sure.
Irv Smith goes down, he's the number one.
Right. Well, in Minnesota, Minnesota also is a big two tight end team, or they were right. With the old regime. So it'll be interesting to see how the offense looks this upcoming season.
Right. They did pick up another tight end in the draft, and I'll say who that is when we get to the draft. But sure. Honestly, right now, other than a bunch of scrubs, you've got this new guy they drafted, and you've got Johnny Munt as your 2 and 3 tight ends.
Munt. You know?
But yeah, like I was saying earlier, this team didn't really change a whole lot offensively. They still have all the powerhouse guys back. We'll see if Thielen falls apart this year because he's getting old.
Yeah.
But what is he, 32, 33? He's not that old for a wide receiver, but...
No, but his best years, like, he was so injured last year and like... That 1 year, I think it was 2018, that he just killed it. You know, it's been a decline ever since then. So that was clearly his peak.
Right. But he's got the name and still could pull a lot of coverage away from Jefferson. So still good to have him there.
True.
I still like the 1-2 punch with Cook and Madison because with all the handcuffs in the NFL, Madison is like, Cook goes down, Madison's just as good.
Yeah.
And Cook's getting old. Who knows? He'd get injured too.
Well, Cook has an injury history.
Yep. So yeah, let's move to the draft. Minnesota had the last pick in the first round this year. So round one, number 32, they got Lewis Cine, safety from Georgia. They're addressing their defensive needs.
Yep.
They also went defense with their number two pick, round two, number 42, Andrew Booth, cornerback from Clemson. They went with a guard, round two, number 59, Ed Ingram from LSU. Round three, number 66, they went with another defense, Brian Asamoah, linebacker from Oklahoma.
Yep, that's a good play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their fifth pick, round four, number 118, they went defense again. Caleb Evans, cornerback from Missouri. Another defense, pick number six, round five, number 165. Esesi Otemawu, defensive end from Minnesota.
Local boy.
Oh, is he?
Well, he's from Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. At least he went to college there.
Yeah.
And then I think Minnesota's kind of looking at Cook. Maybe he's on the latter quarter to third of his full tank left in his system. And they took a running back, Ty Chandler, from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Who, interesting stat, ran a 4.38 in the 40 in the combine, which is pretty good.
Yep.
So, could be an interesting developmental player. Round 6, number 184, they went Veterian Lowe, outside tackle from Illinois. Round 6, number 191, they went Jalen Naylor, wide receiver from Michigan State. I kind of like that pick, even though it was really late. I actually, because it's Michigan State, I watched a couple of those.
Yeah.
We get to watch a couple of those college games every once in a while because they're on locally out here. And
yeah.
He had some interesting games for them.
I will say, before we get too far, about your Ty Chandler pickup, the Vikings re-signed Dalvin Cook. Like, they gave him a second contract, which most teams don't give their star running backs a big second contract. But he signed a 5-year, $63 million contract before 2020. The team has an out in after this season.
Right. So how much is that is guaranteed, though, as well?
So if they cut him after this year, they would save a total of $27 million with a $6 million dead cap hit. So they would lose $6 million, but they, like, his base salary in 2023 and 2024 and 2025 is all over $10 million a year. So
they might
want to cut him depending on where the franchise is at. This could be Dalvin Cook's last season with the Vikings.
Yeah. So yeah, potential good signing, potentially maybe develops this year. Maybe Cook gets injured and then Chandler's got a backup Madison as your third down back or something, you know?
Yeah.
So he could potentially be an interesting play. And then with their last pick, round 7, number 227, they drafted tight end Nick Muse from South Carolina. Not too much about him. They must have just saw something or specifically targeted him for some reason. But as we said earlier, it's going to be him and Johnny Munt backing up Irv Smith. So this is going to be an interesting tight end situation, which I'll closely monitor during the season. We can talk about it and see if anything comes of it. I'm sure they're going to have, three or four. They're probably going to have five or six tight ends signed, but
sure.
You know, we'll see.
What that says to me, as someone that watches the Vikings, because they play the Bears twice a year, I watch them pretty close. That says to me, I think, less two tight end sets and more like single back or like Cook with CJ Ham back there. And I think they'll run out less two tight end sets and maybe more 22 personnel with 21 personnel with two wide receivers. And why am I getting all my personnel numbers wrong, man? It's fucking early. So I'm thinking they'll be running two backs, one tight end, and two wide receivers a lot more.
Okay. So we already kind of talked about the offense. What's interesting about this year is the Vikings are shifting. So we'll talk about the defense. Well, they're shifting to a 3-4 from the 4-3.
Okay.
And I don't remember. That would probably mean that I didn't look this up, but that would probably mean that their defensive coordinator is new this year. I would think if they're new head coach,
they're all going to be
right.
New.
Yeah, yeah. So, as we went over earlier, they got rid of some big names at defense, and that's going to be a really bad problem for them this year. They did a decent amount of drafting defense, but are those guys going to really be able to start and be a high caliber player? You know?
Yeah, who knows?
I don't have a lot of high hopes for Minnesota this year just because of their defense. They could put up a bunch of points. It ain't going to matter when your defense is a sieve. So, you got your Vegas lines. Actually, you know what? Let's really quick. I just want to go through their schedule. Okay. They don't have too bad of a schedule. Their first week they're playing Green Bay at home, then they're at Philly, then they play Detroit. They're at New Orleans, then they got Chicago week 5. Then they're at Miami, then they play Arizona. Then they're at Washington, they're at Buffalo. They play Dallas, New England, and the Jets at home. Then they're at Detroit. Then they play Indy. Then they play the Giants. Then they got 2 away games to end the season at Green Bay and at Chicago. Their schedule doesn't seem as tough as some of the other ones here in the NFC North. Yeah. And that could play to their defensive advantage. I mean, I'm scared about their game against Buffalo. I'm scared about their game against Miami. I'm scared about their game potentially at Philly. Obviously, both Green Bay games, even Indy too. So they were 8-9 last year. Their Vegas line, I'm saying maybe 7 wins.
Okay.
So I'm putting my wins at 7.
So the Vegas line for the Vikings is 8.5.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And so as you're giving those off, I'm writing down on my sheet games that I think are winnable games as of right now. And I had them at 8. So I'm a little more optimistic than you are, but we're both under. So we are both under on the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think their defense is going to be their Achilles heel this year.
Okay. And we'll see if Kirk Cousins can win shootouts.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Justin Jefferson's great, but that offense was, under the old regime, was such a play-action, deep-pass offense.
Right. I think if Vegas is right and they get more than 8.5 wins, for them to get 9 or 10 wins, Cousins is going to have to put up career numbers, I think.
Sure.
So, and I don't think that's possible this year for him.
All right. So, Ryan, it's my turn. Now,
all right.
You're not as online as I am, which is a good thing. Are you familiar with like a content warning, a trigger warning? You know what that is?
Content warning?
Yeah. It's like if someone's going to talk about something that might be traumatic, like sexual assault or school shooting.
Oh. Yeah, they just did with the new Stranger Things. They put in that disclaimer for the mass shooting just happened.
So when I was starting to write this, I have on my sheet, it says, the AFC North, the division that needs a content warning before you talk about them. Because here we are. We're going to start with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right.
Last year's Pittsburgh Steelers were 9-7-1. they snuck into the playoffs, and then the Chiefs just fucking crushed them. 42-21. There's Pittsburgh, dude. One of the things I like about Pittsburgh is they're so boring. There's no coaching changes. Like,
right.
They will come back to this, but everything's pretty much the same. But they brought in a new linebackers coach / head defensive assistant, Brian Flores.
Ooh.
If you listen, former
head coach Miami, right?
Yep. And if you listen to our episodes last week about Miami, I talked about how good Miami's defense was last year. This was 2 weeks ago. But Brian Flores oversaw the best defensive improvement in football last year. So hopefully that's a good thing for Pittsburgh. Their new players, we've got former Chicago Bears starting guard James Daniels.
Nice.
Miles Jack at linebacker.
Ooh.
Gunnar Olszewski from the Patriots is a wide receiver in Pittsburgh. They got center Mason Cole and quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, the titty kisser himself.
That's right.
So players that left. Well, you know, Hall of Fame / rapist Ben Roethlisberger went off to go kick it with his good close friend Donald Trump.
He's a Hall of Fame rapist.
Yeah, well, yeah, and unfortunately probably also Hall of Fame quarterback. Linebacker Joe Schobert is gone, unsigned. Joe Hayden is released, unsigned. Eric Ebron was released, also does not have a job right now. I think Eric Ebron gets a job closer to the start of the season.
Yeah, he'll be somewhere.
Ray-Ray McCloud went to San Francisco.
That's right.
Juju Smith-Schuster went to Kansas City. Right guard Trey Turner went to Washington, and wide receiver James Washington went to Dallas. Don't you like how we've like done this and now we're like coming back to it? It's like, oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, he went there. I was talking about him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yep.
It's all connected, baby. So we were talking about how they don't really do anything too crazy in Pittsburgh. Dude, their first four picks were exactly where they were supposed to be. There's no trades, no move-ups, no move-downs. Pittsburgh's just like, all right, whoever's there at our pick, we're just going to do. We don't trade draft picks.
Interesting.
So their first pick is a friend of the pod, Kenny Pickett. Strong hand himself. Pick 20. He's got very small hands. He went to Pittsburgh. Remember in the 80s when the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't draft Dan Marino and he wanted to go to Pittsburgh because he played at Pitt University?
Oh, yeah.
Now they took a quarterback from Pitt University to play quarterback in Pittsburgh. Pick 52 overall in round 2. The Steelers got George Pickens from Georgia. 32 picks later, pick 84 or 83. Yeah, 84. DeMarvin Leal, defensive end, Texas A&M. They went wide receiver. They took Calvin Austin the third, short little guy. He's going to do the Ray-Ray McCloud stuff from Memphis. Yeah. Actually, round 6, they went fullback. They got a fullback from Michigan State, Connor Hayward. And then they went linebacker in round 7. And then round 7, pick 241, Chris Oladukun, quarterback, South Dakota State.
Interesting.
So who knows, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems weird to me that they're going to have 3 developmental quarterbacks on their fucking team.
Yeah, but with their situation, I think awesome idea. And see which one balls out right away. And that can be your starter.
All right, so offense. We all know what we're getting in Pittsburgh, right? It looks the same every year. But it'll be a little different this year because Ben Roethlisberger's wet noodle arm isn't throwing like 6-yard outs to Deontay Johnson every fucking play.
Right.
I think there'll be some deeper routes run. I think you'll see some moving pockets depending on who the quarterback is. But most importantly, I expect them to continue to give Najee Harris a workload so heavy that it makes Amazon supervisors show their employees his numbers and say, see, he never complains. Harris led the league with 381 touches last year.
Wow.
That's a lot of fucking touches. Yeah. He certainly did not lead the league with 3.9 yards per carry. They addressed this by signing 2 offensive linemen that have really good PFF run blocking grades, James Daniels from the Bears and Mason Cole. So the Steelers run the most RPOs in the league, something that Trubisky and Pickett don't really do. But since they use Najee so much, I think they're going to try to not have to ask whoever's playing quarterback to win single-handedly or tiny-handedly. Huh?
Well, I mean, he throws with a strong hand, so.
It's, you know, and it keeps getting bigger. So by the time the season starts, who knows how big his hand's going to be.
His fingers could be like a foot long.
It's going to be nuts. He's going to crush the ball when he squeezes it. Pickett in college was exceptional at throwing short and intermediate passes. And Pittsburgh, man, like all they do is throw short and intermediate passes.
Right.
An
interesting like thing about that too, that I'm excited if Pickett gets a start, I'm excited for Freiermuth because he's going to he's going to be that 5 to 10 yard pass guy.
Right. Pickett is real good in those spots. And Mitch is kind of, you know, we know Mitch, he's kind of spotty all over, but this is the best offense he's ever played on.
Yeah.
The Steelers do a lot of like shallow crosses. So a lot of the action is in the middle of the field, which is good for quarterbacks because they can see a lot easier. Isn't Pickens kind of a weird pick with Claypool on the roster? It feels to me like they kind of do the same thing.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there. Calvin Austin will be the Ray-Ray McCloud replacement. And Pickens is, right now, he's in the James Washington role, right? He's the other outside guy.
Yeah, he's got to fill that.
He'll be the other outside guy while Claypool is on the other side, while Deontay runs underneath. That's what the offense is going to look like. That's just how it works. But here's the thing. James Washington only saw 45 targets last year. So if they spent pick 52 for only going to give him 45 targets, that seems like a waste of a pick.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think there's a chance that they do different things with Claypool this year. I think they keep, like Deontay doing his same thing, and I think they give Pickens the Claypool role, and then they move Claypool around a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
Sure.
All right, so defense, Pittsburgh's defense. Last year's Steelers had 13 interceptions, 18 forced fumbles, and 55 sacks. But remember, 22 and a half of those 55 sacks were T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt, Cameron Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Terrell Edmonds, Devin Bush, and Miles Jack is a very strong group. But if it's anything like last year, the recipe will be the same. They'll beat the absolute shit out of bad offenses, but then they'll struggle against the good ones.
Right.
Because you got to think Watt is due for regression, right? He's not going to get another 22 and a half sacks this year.
I mean, yeah, statistically speaking, yeah.
So the biggest question for the defense then becomes who picks up the slack. All right. I think this is the year that the Pittsburgh Steelers streak breaks. The Steelers have not had a season where they finished under 500 since 2003, and I think that they end up below 500 this year.
Wow.
They play in a tough division, and they're like retooling on the fly because they never really rebuild. The only point of uncertainty here is, of course, the most important position, quarterback. But almost all the key pieces are returning except at QB. So to me, Pickett has to be the guy, right? If Mitch comes in and kills it, that's a different story. But if he comes in and plays average, it's Pickett time.
I don't think Mitch is going to do anything.
The Steelers open against Cincinnati, New England, and Cleveland. If the Steelers start with Mitch and they start 0-3, Pickett's in by week 4. I don't think, and I didn't think, as you saw in the sheets, I don't think that Pickett's the best quarterback in this draft, but I think he landed in the best situation for his skill set, and I think he can develop into an average NFL quarterback. If Pickens performs well and the Steelers round out the roster next year as well, there'll be a tough out in a division that's getting more and more loaded by the day. I predict the Pittsburgh Steelers go 8-9 this year.
8-9?
Yeah. What do you think about Pittsburgh this year? Are they a 500 team?
No. I'm actually really low on Pittsburgh this year. The only player I'm excited for on that team is Freiermuth. I guess Najee Harris too.
A Deontay guy. I love Deontay.
The new quarterback situation is going to put a bunch of wrenches into the fold. I'm putting Pittsburgh at 6 wins.
I have them at 8-9. So you are under on Pittsburgh, and I am over because the line in Vegas for Pittsburgh is 7.5.
Wow.
So we are split on Pittsburgh. All right, let's head back to the north, Ryan. Talk to me.
All right, let's move on to the Detroit Lions.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this.
So bad last year, they even had a tie.
To Pittsburgh. They tied with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's right. So they were 3-13-1 last year. Ugh. And I think that's going to... It's going to be a dramatic increase in wins this year. Detroit is going to be really good, I think. And it's so good, in fact, that they may even be able to put up and potentially win the NFC North with all the shit that's going on in Green Bay and the uncertainty of the Bears. There's potential.
You're crazy, but I want to hear it. Tell me all about it.
All right. So we got year two coach Dan Campbell. We've got Deuce Staley at assistant head coach / running backs coach. We've got Ben Johnson at offensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn at defensive coordinator, and an interesting ex-NFL wide receiver at their wide receivers coach this year. Former Pittsburgh Steeler wide receiver Antoine Randall-L.
Oh, cool.
Number 82.
I thought you were going to say Antonio Brown for a second. That would have been so
awesome. No, dude. Oh, my God. He'll never be a coach.
That'd be awesome, though.
But I thought that was an interesting little fact because I remember watching him play when I was younger. And I don't think he's that far removed from his playing time either, but
right,
maybe 5 or 10 years.
Oh yeah, less than 10 for sure.
Is it more than that?
No, it's less than 10. It's got to be.
Yeah,
I would say 5 years, probably about right.
Yeah. Okay, so Detroit's obviously in a rebuild, so a lot of their signings this year were mostly like 1 year deals, which makes sense. So we got some notable players that left this year. Will Holden at tackle, Jalen Reeves-Maybin at linebacker, Cardell Hodge, he went to Atlanta. Also Dean Marlowe at safety to Atlanta. I don't know who's more notable than those guys. Probably a bunch of scrubs. I don't think there was anyone really of notable, any big names. But they did some interesting stuff in free agency. They re-signed a lot of guys. I think the biggest free agent they picked up this year was DJ Chark, which is going to be actually awesome.
Yeah.
For Goff. I'm thinking this year Goff might be in one of those moods where like, let's just all right. He's playing for a contract, right? So yeah. They just gave him all these weapons. I mean, and he was pretty decent when he first started off with the Rams. Who says he can't do that again, given the right weapons? So that's why I'm kind of high on Detroit this year. They also re-sign Khalif Raymond, Josh Reynolds. Let's see. And they also re-signed and kept most of their O-line. So none of that's going to change. And honestly, I read something somewhere that their offensive line is actually expected to be one of the best in the NFL this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that could be awesome for Goff, which makes me think Detroit might actually have a chance this year. They signed Garrett Griffin, tight end from New Orleans. Chris Board, linebacker from Baltimore. Mike Hughes, cornerback. They picked up David Blau to back up Goff. They also picked up Jarrett Davis, a linebacker, who's actually coming back to Detroit.
Okay.
He was Detroit's former first-round pick in 2017. And out for like some... but he's coming back and he's playing now with Alex Anzalone, at the linebacker position, who Anzalone's been there, but Anzalone and Jarrett Davis played in Florida together, where they combined for 280 tackles and 8.5 sacks.
All right. That's good intel right there. I like that.
Yeah. So their defense Potential two. Once again, another reason why I'm a little bit high on Detroit this year.
You and me both, man. You don't got to sell me on shit.
Let's move on to their draft. I know you love their round one pick two, defensive end pick in Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan.
He's awesome.
Yeah. That's going to be really good addition to their defense. And here's another reason why I'm really excited for Jared Goff in Detroit, because at round one, number 12, Mr. Jameson Williams.
J-Mo might be the best wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah. So, great pick. And then at round two, number 46, Josh Pascal, they got another defensive end from Kent State. Round three, number 97, Curly Joseph, safety from Illinois. Round five, number 177, they picked up a tight end who I didn't really know anything about, James Mitchell from Virginia Tech.
No clue.
Round six, number 188, they went defense again at Malcolm Rodriguez, inside linebacker from Oklahoma State. Round six, number 217, they went linebacker again, James Houston from Jackson. And then their last pick of the draft, round 7, 237, Chase Lucas, another defensive corner from Arizona State. So they did a lot of defense because they still, this is kind of similar to Minnesota, where they still re-signed and have a lot of their offensive players. They didn't need to do a lot of restructuring with that outside of picking up Chark and a couple other things. So it makes sense why they went heavily defensive in the draft. And they, like I said, they still, so now they have Chark, they have Hockenson, they got Jameson Williams, they got DeAndre Swift, they got Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yep.
They still have Josh Reynolds, they still have Khalif Raymond. This offense on paper is pretty decent. Outside of Goff passing. But
yeah, like, but next, like year they get, next year they get their quarterback,
right? Yeah, right. That's potential if you tank the season.
Well, remember though, even if Detroit does well this year, they also have the Rams' first round pick this year, so they have two first rounds next year as well.
Oh shit!
So, like, they can move up and get one of those quarterbacks. They're in one of those same spots as, like, Philly, where you've got two first-round picks, so you have flexibility to move up and get your guy if you want.
True. Okay, so, like, their offense, it's going to be good. On paper, it looks really good. I'm excited for these guys. Their defense, there's still a lot of big questions at their linebackers and quarterbacks. Are cornerbacks, but their pass rush actually should be pretty good.
Yeah, Hockenson's a monster, man.
Yeah, so we'll see. Detroit's never been the greatest team for defense,
but Campbell's a defensive coach.
Okay,
and his players, you got to admit, his players fucking love him.
Yeah,
and in a draft where you could have any skill position guy, any offensive lineman, and they were like, nope, pass rusher, Aiden Hutchinson, like, is the guy. They're committing. Like, this is a team, when you were telling me about how Minnesota loaded up on defensive backs, you know who they're preparing for, right? They're preparing for Detroit. They're preparing for this offense to be the big deal.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Because it's not Rodgers. If Rodgers is gone in 2 years, it's not Rodgers. They're preparing for Detroit to be a powerhouse, and they want as much firepower in the defensive backfield as possible.
Right. So let's look at Detroit's schedule really quick, and then we'll go with our bold win predictions. I know mine will be bold.
All right, I'm ready.
So their first two games are at home, Philly and Washington. Then they go to Minnesota. They're at home in Seattle. They got two road games, 5 and 6, at New England, at Dallas. Two home games against Miami and then Green Bay. And then the first time they play Chicago is week 8 in Chicago. Then they go to New York to play the Giants. Then they got three games in a row at home. Buffalo, Jacksonville, Minnesota. And then their last four games of the year are kind of shitty because only one of them is at home, and that's against the Bears. So they go at the Jets, at Carolina, at home against the Bears, and then they finish the season at Green Bay.
Oh, boy. I am actually, because I don't look up the schedule yet, right? But, like, I am actually pretty surprised at how many things I wrote down as winnable games for them.
Right?
So, why don't you tell me what your number is?
I think of all the schedules that for the NFC North, I think Detroit's actually probably one of the best in terms of being able to win. But I'm being really bold, and I'm putting the Detroit Lions at 9 wins this year.
I wrote down 9 wins as well.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. I have 9 ticks on my sheet. And that puts us both significantly over the Vegas line of 6.5.
I knew it was going to be something super low.
And I think it's a reflection of Jared Goff. Like, I think that you're higher on Goff than...
Yeah.
You're higher on Goff than I am. And I'm high.
We've seen some glimpses. I mean, if their O-line's supposed to be one of the best in the league and they give him 3 seconds, 4 seconds every time to pass the ball, I mean...
Who knows? Come on. Weapons.
Yeah, right.
All right. That's the Lions. We're both over on the Lions at 6.5. So... Let's talk Baltimore now. I'm going to go Baltimore Ravens as my second pick from the division here. So last year, Baltimore went 8-9. I didn't remember this, and maybe it's because I don't pay a ton of attention to trends like this, but the Ravens were 8-3, and then they lost their last 6. And they're in week 18, they lost to Pittsburgh in overtime that cost them a playoff spot. But it was a bad year for injuries for Baltimore. Lamar got hurt. The entire secondary got hurt. Dobbins and Gus Edwards both got hurt before the season started. Baltimore went 1-4 in the 5 games that Lamar was out. And the only game they beat, the only win they had was against the Bears. And that was Tyler Huntley, and then Fields got hurt in that game. So it was Tyler Huntley and Andy Dalton. So not much of a win.
Right.
John Harbaugh, still the dude. Harbaugh's still the guy. Greg Roman is still the offensive coordinator. And reading a bunch of stuff about it, Ravens fans are sick of Greg Roman. Don Wink Martindale is gone. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He went to go be the defensive coordinator for the Giants.
The Winkster.
So they brought in, to fill the role as defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald was brought in, who was on the Ravens staff for 7 years. He left last year to be the defensive coordinator at Michigan, so he went from Harbaugh to Harbaugh, and he's back now. He's 34 years old, and his name is Michael McDonald.
What?
So, if you think that you're going to be able to pass on the Ravens as easily as you could last year, that's what a fool believes.
I was going to say, that is what a fool believes.
So, new players. Not a lot of new guys in Baltimore. Right tackle Morgan Moses. The big move was safety Marcus Williams, getting him from the Saints. It's a big play.
Okay.
They lost a lot of guys. They lost center Bradley Bozeman. He went to the Panthers. Sammy Watkins went to go believe in weird aliens in Green Bay. Justin Ellis, defensive lineman, went to the Giants. Nickelback Tavon Young went to the Bears, a great signing by the Bears. Hollywood Brown was traded to the Cardinals. Pernell McPhee is old and unsigned, and Devontae Freeman is also old. I really like Baltimore's draft. There's an argument that Baltimore had the best draft in the NFL.
For real?
Yeah. Baltimore had picked 14 overall, and they used that to take safety from Notre Dame, Kyle Hamilton. Dude is a fucking monster. They traded back into the first round to get center Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa. So they shored up center, and now they have probably the best safety in the draft. Pick number 45, David Ojabo from Michigan, who we'll talk about in a second. A pick I liked a lot was pick round 4, pick 110. They took Daniel Faale from Minnesota. That's a power move right there. They got their slot cornerback in Jalen Amor Davis in round 4. And then they went tight end Charlie Kohler from Iowa State, punter Jordan Stout from Penn State, and then Isaiah Likely, tight end Coastal Carolina. So they went in the fourth round. They had 6 fourth-round picks, Ryan. 6 fourth-round picks.
That's awesome. I really like Isaiah Likely too.
Uh huh. And
especially because he's going to get to study under Mark Andrews.
I know Isaiah Likely is a fun play in this offense. It might take a couple years, but it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
They took Tyler Beatty from Missouri in round 6. All right, so. Greg Roman is back, so this should be a similar offense to what we saw last year. Hollywood Brown, who I think is one of the most underrated wide receivers in football, is gone. Lamar was not happy about that. Rashad Bateman is the wide receiver 1 right now. He needs to step up because the other wide receivers on this team are Tylan Wallace, Devin Duvernay, and some other scrubs. All of the wide receivers on this roster right now, Ryan, that aren't named Rashad Bateman, combined for 73 targets last year.
What?
Yeah. The loss of Hollywood and the running backs frees up 250 targets. So either Andrews and Bateman are going to get stuffed with targets, or they're throwing to Tylan Wallace and Devin Duvernay.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if Baltimore made a move between when this is recorded and when the season starts. The return of Dobbins and Edwards will help bring back some consistency, and a healthy backfield of those two plus Lamar means the offense can be good once again. Hollywood had 139 targets last year. 65 of them were like between the first 10 yards, and then 30 of them were 20 plus yards downfield.
That's so crazy.
Bateman's going to pick up the slack with those shorter routes, but the question is where those deep targets go, and I don't know where they're coming from right now. Lamar has a fucking cannon for an arm, and they need to keep the safeties out of the box. So to me, who's going deep for Baltimore is their biggest question on offense. The Ravens secondary last year was beat the shit up, and it showed. Joe Burrow set an almost NFL record against them last year. They stopped the run all right, but it's still not the defense that we think about, like, for Baltimore.
Yeah, right.
Marcus Peters, their cornerback, suffered a season-ending ACL tear in practice 3 days before the season started. So, him and Humphrey being back together will be great. Jalen Amor Davis will be asked to be either, you know, a nickel or an outside cornerback, which plays to his strengths. Kyle Hamilton makes the safety one of the best in football. Calais Campbell is old but still playing great. Tyus Bowser and Patrick Queen are great linebackers. This group should bounce back from last year's disappointing season, hopefully quickly. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but David Ojabo is the linebacker from Michigan that was a top 10, top 15 pick, and then tore his Achilles during pre-draft workouts. It was like on film. He was working out for scouts and his Achilles popped.
Yeah.
So he's going to miss this year, probably. But if he comes back and he's good and they got him in the third round, think about how fucking nuts that would be. So this offense takes a step back this year, but I think the defense takes a step forward. The team will miss Hollywood a lot, and I love their tight end room, but there's not much beyond Andrews and Bateman right now. As of right now, I think defensive coordinators, when you go against Baltimore, you just put a bunch of dudes in the box you know, and because I don't think the offense is built to win games 35-31. I do think Lamar Jackson is being slept on and is still an MVP level quarterback, and I think this is a bounce back season for him, and Baltimore plays well. I don't think that they're going to be a playoff team in an AFC that's that loaded, but I think that they will be off. They'll be around the playoff picture near the end of the season. So, I'll give you the schedule. You ready?
Sure.
All right. So, the Ravens open the season at the Jets. And then they go to the Dolphins. And then they have the Patriots, the Bills, the Bengals, the Giants, the Browns, the Bucks, the Saints. They have a bye in week 10. And then Carolina, Jacksonville, Denver, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati again.
God, their middle of the season is going to be brutal for them.
Yeah, but they start and end pretty all right.
Yeah.
So my prediction this year is that the Baltimore Ravens go 10-7.
Holy shit, for real?
Yes, sir. What about you? What do you think about Baltimore this year?
Wow, I'm saying 7-10.
7-10. Wow. So we are split on the Baltimore Ravens because the Vegas line is 9.5.
Wow, for real?
Yep. So that's crazy. Those are the Baltimore Ravens. All right, Ryan. So tell me about your next team. Let's let it ride. We're halfway home.
All right, so we're going to talk about the shitty-ass Green Bay Packers.
Fuck them. Fuck the Packers.
Like, we all know we're Chicago fans. That's the only reason I say that. I love football. I love all the teams, just not the Packers as much.
Not the Packers. Fuck the Packers.
So let's see. With all the drama and the Aaron Rodgers bullshit, let's look beyond that and look at the actual team on paper.
Sure.
Packers were 13-4 last year, but their special teams fucked them over, and
so fun.
So yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould did that for us. For us Bears fans.
Yeah. Right. They still have Matt LaFleur as their head coach, Adam Stenovich as their offensive coordinator, Joe Barry, their defensive coordinator, and Rich Bisaccia at special teams. So, Packers were one of those teams this year that they just got rid of a lot of guys. I'm sure they got a bunch of stuff back, but they pretty much overhauled their offense. And like, let's go through it. Well, obviously the first, Whitney Mercilus, longtime NFL linebacker, retired after I think 10 seasons, something like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. They got rid of their punter, and they picked up former Bears punter Pat O'Donnell.
That's right.
So they let go of Corey Bjorkas.
They never just get.
Yeah, right. Chandler Sullivan to Minnesota. And here's where it starts to get interesting. They got rid of Martez Valdez-Scantling, wide receiver, to Kansas City. They got rid of Equanimeous St. Brown, wide receiver, to the Bears. And the biggest shocker of them all, who Aaron Rodgers said he was fully aware that they were doing this when he re-signed, Mr. Davante Adams going to Las Vegas. So basically, who is Rodgers going to throw to? I mean, you still have Alan Lazard. You still have old man Corn Cob. Robert Tonyan had a season-ending injury last year, so I don't even know if he's going to start the season and be healthy. So who does he really have to throw to? We'll take a look at some of that stuff. Some other players they let go: Oren Burks, linebacker, to San Francisco. Lucas Patrick, one of their guards, actually went to the Bears.
Yep.
So Bears actually made out in this. I mean, they got St. Brown and they got a new guard.
Yeah, but I think Lucas Patrick is going to start for the Bears.
Probably. Yeah. But we'll talk about the Bears O-line in the next segment. Sure. So, like I said earlier, some new they picked up Pat from the Bears. They got Jerron Reed at defensive line. They got Keyshawn Nixon at cornerback. They got Devondre Campbell at linebacker. They picked up alien truther Sammy Watkins.
Yep.
Who I've never understood why teams value him so much. He's just been blah his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's playing or he's injured. But a lot of what the Packers did was in their draft. It looks like they had like 11 picks or 12 picks. So, because they had so many needs to address, obviously, now with them decimating their offense. The one thing that you could say that the Packers really, they kept their O-line and they're protecting Aaron Rodgers. They reinvested in Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
And they pretty much kept their O-line the way it is, and it should be pretty decent this year, and they need that to help Rodgers, especially if he's got three different guys running routes that they're not supposed to run because they don't know the fucking offense.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So let's see what they did in the draft. Round one, pick 22. They got an inside linebacker, Kay Walker, from Georgia. They got two Georgia guys right off the bat. They also had round one, pick 28, Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle from Georgia. So they went defense with their first two picks, which I think is good because Packers defense is it was all right last year, but it wasn't anything to write home about. But it was just surprising. Once again, that they let go all that receiver talent and they didn't go with a receiver in the first two rounds.
Right.
But at round two, number 34, they actually got a wide receiver. They got Christian Watson.
They moved back up to get him too. Yeah. After trading out, they moved back up to get him.
Right. So I'm sure a lot of Packers fans were butthurt with the first two picks, but they got a decent one on pick three. In their third pick, they went with an O lineman, round three, pick number 92, Sean Ryan, UCLA. And then at round four, number 132, what were we talking about? Wide receivers. They picked up Romeo Doubs from Nevada, someone who Tony liked earlier in the season. Looked pretty good on some tape.
He's going to do the MVS role. He's the deep ball guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got to fill in. I mean, I guess that replaces St. Brown. It definitely doesn't replace Devontae Adams, but so then at round four, number 140, they got Zach Tom O lineman from Wake Forest.
Zach Tom sounds like such a fake name.
Right. And then this name is the exact opposite. Round five, number 179, Kingsley Enagbare, linebacker from South Carolina.
Fuck yeah. He'll fit right in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yep. And then they had four seventh-round picks. At round seven, 228, they took Tariq Carpenter at linebacker. Round seven, 234, they took Jonathan Ford. Defensive tackle from Miami. Round seven, number 249, they took Rashid Walker, outside tackle from Penn State. And then at round seven, number 258, they took Samari Torrey, wide receiver from Nebraska.
That is my deepest rookie that I like this year. Deepest.
Really?
Yeah, because he was a small school guy for 3 years. He was like an FCS team, so no one really knew about him. He transferred this year to Nebraska, balled the fuck out. He is a short space creator that gets off the line super fast. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to like this dude a lot.
Yeah.
Seventh round receivers don't get a lot of love, but right. This is one of those guys that I'm like, hey, this guy might be worth looking at. And if you're doing like, if you're in a dynasty league, I have like a bunch of shares of this dude because he's free and who knows.
Right. So, all right, I'm hoping that with those three wide receiver pickups, one of those guys got to break out. One of those guys is going to become the instant 2, 3, or 4. I'm putting right now, I'm putting like Lazard at number one, I guess.
Over Watkins?
Yeah. I'm never a big fan of Watkins. And Lazard has the experience playing with Rodgers. Yeah. Whereas trust could be a factor. So I would think it would be Lazard, Watkins, Cobb, and then it's anyone's pick at 3, 4, you know, or 4 and 5.
I think Christian Watson is on the field with the ones this year.
You think he's going to slot in right away?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You don't move up to get a guy 34th overall to like slowly bring him along. I think if he's not the week one outside starter, he's already going to be a bust because that means that he didn't earn Rodgers' trust right away.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. And Rodgers is a veteran, so you kind of got to develop that respect, I guess, right, with players like that. And just kind of do whatever they say because they know how to win. Yep. So on the overall, their draft did a lot to help the decimation of their offense that they did in the before the draft. But it's anyone's guess, man. I mean, with Davante Adams leaving, I don't know who Rodgers is going to develop a chemistry with anymore.
Right.
Is one of those guys going to be a 10 plus touchdown guy?
It's a good question. I think that's a valid question to ask.
Right. I mean, I don't know if anyone replaces the role that Adams had.
No, it's like Kansas City with Tyreek. Like, they're not going to ask one dude to do, hey, go be Tyreek Hill. They're going to say, Tyreek did good at this, this, and this, and I've got a guy that does this good, I've got a guy that does this second thing good, and I've got a guy that does this third thing good.
Yeah.
And I think Samari Toure is one of those dudes that does the short routes and gets off the line quick that runs those slants. I think Dobbs goes deep. And I think they use Watson a lot like they tried to use Jordy Nelson.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I might be crazy, but that's just what makes sense to me.
One of the big mysteries, though, in the Packers offense that they did not address at all, and they still haven't. They probably will before the season starts. But in terms of free agency up to now and the draft, with Robert Tonyan questionable to start for the beginning of the season, who the fuck do they have at tight end? They didn't draft anyone. They're going to have to pick up a veteran off free agency somewhere. And if they do have, I mean, I'm sure they have signed to their roster, but there's no one name-worthy.
You know what would be cool is if they picked up like Eric Ebron.
Yeah, like you said, he is still out there.
Okay, so as of right now, their tight end room is Robert Tonyan, Josiah DeGuara, Mercedes Lewis, and Tyler Davis.
That's right. They have DeGuara. I forgot. He kind of was a thing once Tonyan went out last year.
But him and Mercedes Lewis are not giving tight end.
They're blocking tight ends, yeah.
Right, right.
I am excited to watch the run game for them this year. I really think it's going to become AJ Dillon's year. So I think Jones is just going to be thrown to the wayside. He's the older of the two, and we'll see.
I think there's a reality where Jones turns into more of a pass catching out of the backfield specialist because he's such a good receiver.
Like the reverse roles?
I think they're going to use Dylan more on first down, or they might switch drives. But I think that this is a year where Jones catches a lot of passes with what's going on at receiver. That's just someone that Rodgers trusts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
And he's dude, Aaron Jones like lines up outside as a boundary receiver sometimes already. So they can do that 10 plays a game.
Damn. Sorry, Cubs just hit back-to-back home runs.
Like, I just see you looking and you're just like, damn. What? Really? You're that interested, huh? Okay.
But then in terms of their defense, they did a lot in the draft, and they got some good developmental players.
Okay.
Let's take a look at their schedule really quick. They start off the year at Minnesota. Then they're at home against Chicago. Then they got to go to play in Tampa. Then New England. Then they got the Giants. Then they got the Jets. Then they go on a road stint. They got at Washington, at Buffalo, at Detroit. Then they come home for Dallas and Tennessee. Then they go at Philly, at Chicago. Then they go the Rams, at Miami, and then finish off the year Minnesota and Detroit at home.
Okay. Okay. I was not planning to write down as much as I wrote down, but I have them at 11 wins.
Yeah. I'm saying the same number, 11, yeah.
Okay. So that means, actually, we've split the last couple. We are both in agreement that the Packers are over the Vegas line of 10.5.
Oh, it's 10. I was going to say, I was thinking it was maybe 11 and a half or something.
No, we are just on the over.
Cool.
All right. So let's never talk about the Packers again. Fuck the Packers.
Yeah, let's quit talking about cheese.
Yeah, right? They don't even have the internet, so no one from Wisconsin listens to this show.
Right.
So
I think it's, what is Wi-Fi? It's like the new
It's the new what?
I said they think what's Wi-Fi? It's a new type of bush can, you know, like
exactly. Wi-Fi,
the bush camo cans and
the camo cans, but they have like the Wi-Fi signals. All right, fuck Wisconsin. Moving on. I don't want to do this, but let's do it. I don't want to talk about this team. We're going to talk about the Cleveland Browns.
Nice.
The Cleveland Browns went 8-9 last year. They ended up third in the division, but they only missed the playoffs by a game, which was for sure a disappointing season because the year before, if you remember, scrappy-ass Baker Mayfield, they pushed the Chiefs to the edge in that playoff game. And then they started the season this last year, almost beating them again. But then, you know, Baker got hurt, the team got beat up, everyone was injured for a while. They had like weird COVID reschedulings. They played on like a Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah.
They were 7-6 and they ended 8-9. So they went 1-3 in their last four games. And if they would have just gone 2-2, like they would have made the playoffs. So whatever. All right, so they didn't change anything on coaches. They moved up some quality control people. Kevin Stefanski is in year 3 of the Browns coach, and like, dude, he's gone 19-14. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
he went 1-1 in the playoffs. He was coach of the year in 2020. Like, super smart dude, super easy to root for this team until. All right, well, let's talk about the new players for Cleveland. They got quarterback and former safety, if you recall, Deshaun Watson. Which we'll get to in a moment. They traded for Amari Cooper for a 5th-round pick, which is highway robbery. They signed Jacoby Brissett, and then two interior defensive linemen, Taven Bryan and Chase Winovich from the Patriots.
Yeah.
They had some players leave. Malik Jackson has left. He's still unsigned. Wide receiver Rashard Higgins went to the Panthers. Cornerback Troy Hill went back to the Rams. He was on the Rams, went to the Browns. Now he's back on the Rams. Jarvis Landry went to the Saints. And center J.C. Tretter is off the team. He is now currently unsigned. All right, so the Browns gave up 6 picks to acquire Deshaun Watson, who is an asshole and rapist. So unless the Browns move back into the draft somehow, they don't have a first-round pick until 2025.
That's crazy.
Yes. Just fun to think about. Thanks, Cleveland, for sacrificing your whole future for this asshole. All right. So their first pick...
What if he doesn't even play? Like, what if he gets suspended for the whole season and then like all the legal stuff plays out and he's like guilty of 22 counts or whatever?
Well, all the legal stuff's done now. It's just civil suits. So now it's just financial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the American legal system's a fucking joke. Anyways, so the Browns had 3 third-round picks. They went defense and defense. So they went cornerback with pick 68, Martin Emerson. They went Alex Wright, defensive end, pick 78. They went wide receiver David Bell, my 8th overall wide receiver, round 3, pick 99. That's a huge play.
I like that pick.
They went defensive tackle, round 4. They went kicker, round 4. They went running back Jerome Ford in round 5. Nothing too much from there. I mean, some depth guys. So, expect more of the same Stefanski offense. As usual this season, they're going to run a lot of what they did before. You know, a lot of heavy running. They just gave Njoku, right before we started recording, they gave Njoku a giant contract extension. They're going to keep running 2 tight ends. They're going to keep running multi-back offenses. They're not going to run a fucking spread formation.
And that tight end deal was like unprecedented too. It was like 4 years, like $65 million for a tight end.
A lot of money.
I think he's making more money now than Mark Andrews is a year.
No justice in the fucking world.
That's crazy.
So they also added one of the best quarterbacks in football. They gave him the most guaranteed money of all time, alienated a ton of their fan base, and just left Baker Mayfield out to dry.
What a shit show this offseason for them.
I don't want to spend all of my time on this, but it's really hard to hide how ugly that this organization is willing to look to have a chance to win a chance. So I'm going to try to not make this like the only thing that I talk about, but it's really tough to root for this team. Deshaun Watson inherits an offense that never asked a quarterback to do as much as he's been asked to do in the past. Right, because in Houston, dude was behind 20 points constantly, flinging the ball up and down the field.
Right,
that's not how Cleveland wins games.
Yeah, they haven't set him up for success at all.
Right, so Chubb and Hunt are a great 1-2 punch in the backfield, and the offense tends to run like a wide zone concept, and it utilizes their offensive line strengths. It's a ball control offense based on play action, which keeps the offense on the field. And being super efficient. They're not a high-scoring team, but they're an efficient. Not only is Watson most likely going to be suspended, but the numbers that we're expecting from him as a quarterback are coming from the time that he was running that offense in Houston, where they always needed to pass. Watson is a shit human who I don't believe should be drafted as a quarterback 1 in fantasy, even if you can like hold your nose and draft him knowing he's a bad guy. Like, I don't think he's going to return a quarterback 1 in fantasy numbers. I don't think that's this offense. So, I think Deshaun Watson falls out of the top 12 quarterbacks in fantasy as a quarterback this year. That's my hot take. David Bell's going to be the Jarvis Landry role, I think, but I don't think he's going to get a ton of looks. The only 2 teams in the NFL use a 3 wide receiver set less than last year. So... Really? I think they're going to expect a lot of 2 tight end sets. Cooper and Peoples-Jones will be on the outside. And then Bell and Anthony Schwartz will kind of combine to do their wide receiver 3s. And that's not a huge productive spot in this scheme. So I know some people that are super high on David Bell this year. I want to temper expectations, but I can see why he's an intriguing dynasty draft pick. All right, Cleveland's defense brought back a lot of dudes. They brought back Myles Garrett, still there. Jadeveon Clowney re-signed. Those guys are still game wreckers. Greg Newsome and Denzel Ward are great cornerbacks. Jeremiah Owosu-Koamora was a steal in last year's draft. Last year they had 13 interceptions, 12 forced fumbles, and 43 sacks. 25 of those 43 were Garrett and Clowney alone. Now that the secondary is healthy, you can make the case that Cleveland is a top five defense. And based on the division they're in, they're going to have to be, right? They got Cincinnati twice. The Browns play a lot of cover three, and they played quarters in the backfield, which is like a defensive front where you're just kind of having four dudes face up but playing like a deep zone.
Yeah.
that means that the line needs to generate pressure, and luckily this defensive line does generate pressure. The run defense was a soft spot. There were nine games last year where they gave up more than 100 yards rushing. In those nine games, the Browns only won two of those games. So they need to stop the offense. They need to stop the offense from running. So really, what else is there to say about this team? Not really a lot. They put in a bunch of clauses to make sure they know that Deshaun Watson is super behind him. So like the way his contract is restructured, if he gets suspended this year, he doesn't lose like any money. Okay. That's some bullshit. He'll be suspended, I think. I would believe at least six games. I would hope a season. I would hope he never plays again. Whatever. But realistically, I think somewhere between four and six games would be a reasonable expectation.
Sure.
The team will try to win a lot of low-scoring games, run and defense, and you know, some of them they'll be successful against, but not all of them. But they do have the offense that they can win if they get into shootouts. Cleveland could be a dangerous team if they sneak into a wild card spot, but that depends on how long Watson is going to start the season. The defense didn't get to play with a lead very often last year, so who knows what that looks like, right? So let's go through Cleveland's schedule. Ready for it?
Sure.
So they start off away at the Panthers, and then they have two home games. They go the Jets at home, Steelers at home, away at the Falcons, home against the Chargers, home against the Patriots, in Baltimore, home against the Bengals, two away games at Miami and Buffalo, home against the fucking Buccaneers, away in Houston, away in Cincinnati, at home against Baltimore and New Orleans, and then away at Washington and Pittsburgh.
So I just went, you just said those, and I literally only put up five fingers. Like, that's...
Whoa.
I think they're only, that's like, I was like, maybe five wins?
Really? You think they're, because they're a playoff team.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're just super down on Cleveland, I guess. I have them.
I just have like a strange feeling that because of all the bullshit Watson has had to deal with, I think it's changed him mentally. He hasn't played in over a year, so who knows if he's the shell of the person he used to be? You know.
Okay. I hope he fucking sucks. I hope he sucks.
Yeah. So do I. So I'm putting Cleveland at six wins. That's it.
Okay. I have them at 9-8. So I'm a little more optimistic than you are. There is no Vegas line.
Oh, yeah. I probably could have figured that. Yeah.
There's no Vegas line. So I'm assuming there will be no Vegas line until the number comes out. So.
Right.
So we can't go either way. So that's Cleveland. So let's Green Bay. Let's never talk about it again.
Yeah.
All right.
Enough of the nonsense.
Dude, should we do the? Should I just do the Bengals right now so we can spend time? No, you know what? No, we can't do it. I don't want to spend 45 minutes talking about the Bengals. Do them right now.
Yeah, that's fine, because we can make the Bears like a collab. You know, there's a lot of stuff to talk about the Bears. Like I said, there's like at least 15 to 20 new players that they did in free agency and shit. Like, it's crazy.
Well, let's get into it. Let's do it. Maybe we'll do a deep dive separate episode.
Yeah. Well, why don't you do the Bengals first, and then we'll do the Bears last.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, let's do it. The Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals, 10-7 last year, made the playoffs, beat the Raiders, Titans, and Chiefs in a row before losing the Super Bowl to the Rams. Joe Burrow's like true explosion didn't really start until week 16 against the Ravens, but then after that, he just wrecked shit all the way to the end. And I don't know if you ever saw this picture or this video, but if that offensive line had given Joe Burrow an extra second on that fourth down play in the Super Bowl, he would have seen Ja'Marr Chase breaking free downfield. Like Jalen Ramsey fell down. Like Watson, yeah. That was it. He would have won the Super Bowl, but his offensive line, whatever. All right.
Not to mention what Burrow's stats, like what was it, the last three games of the season? What was it? He had like over 1,000 passing yards and
yeah, like more
something,
than that.
Something ridiculous. Like
yeah. Uh-huh. So all the coordinators have returned. Zach Taylor's magical run bought him a little bit more time, to be honest. Like, even though he went to the Super Bowl last year, so people are going to give him a couple more years, think about, like, he made a couple really bad calls during the Super Bowl. Remember 3rd-and-1, where he ran Samaje fucking Perine into the line for no gain, and then they didn't get it on 4th-and-short and lost the Super Bowl. I think that Zach Taylor is Matt Nagy with better offense. I think he fucking sucks. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Mixon covered up for a lot of his play calling and time management last year. They're running it back, man. They brought in a few guys. They brought in center Ted Karras. They brought in right guard Alex Kappa. Left tackle Lyle Collins from Dallas is a big fucking move. Yeah, and then Hayden Hurst at tight end. So the reason they brought in Hayden Hurst is because C.J. Uzomah went to the Jets, and cornerback Darius Phillips went to the Raiders, and left guard Quentin Spain is, as of right now, unsigned. Drafted players, they went safety, pick 31, Dax Hill from Michigan. Round 2, Cam Taylor Britt, cornerback/safety, Nebraska. They went offensive line in round 4, but other than that, it's all defensive players. So they went defensive tackle, safety, defensive end. So offensive scheme for the Bengals. If it ain't broke, dude, why are you trying to fix it? No team ran a higher percentage of their offense with 3 wide receivers on the field than the Bengals, because when your wide receivers are Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, why would you do anything else? PFF scores don't mean a ton, but it should be said that Joe Burrow was their number one ranked quarterback last year. And Chase and Higgins were 7th and 9th overall, respectively. Ja'Marr Chase, using the PFF ratings, Ja'Marr Chase has a 99.9 rating on deep passes. Like, he has almost a perfect deep pass rating. Listen to this shit. Here we go. I was telling you about this. Ja'Marr Chase had 40 targets that went 20 yards past the line of scrimmage last year, like air yards.
Wow.
He caught 17 of those 40 passes for 8 touchdowns.
Oh my God.
And 150 yards after the catch on those targets. 8 touchdowns on 40 targets, not 40 catches, 40 targets. That's ridiculous.
That is baller.
That's the most elite shit I've ever heard. Now, listen to how elite T. Higgins is in between 10 and 19 yards. 34 catches of 46 targets. Between 10 and 20 yards, that dude caught 34 of 46. That's ridiculous. How are you that efficient?
Right.
Tyler Boyd is the guy that does well in the 0 to 9 yards range. It just works. They got a guy at each level. Joe Mixon rebounded this year to crush it. 1,200 yards rushing, 42 catches, 314 yards receiving, 15 total touchdowns. And with that offensive line, like, that's bananas. Let's be real. We have to expect that there's going to be some regression here, right? Like, they can't play like they played at the end of last year for an entire season. It's just not possible.
But what if they do?
It's an impossibility, right? Like, yeah. It might actually be wrong, but I can't. We can't project record-setting play, but they were doing it, man. It's scary how good this offense is. If you're a fantasy player, you want exposure to this entire fucking offense. The defense, the addition of Dax Hill and then Cam Taylor-Britt are huge, like their first two picks. Huge for the secondary. Hill can play either safety or nickel cornerback, and Taylor-Britt is a slot guy. They both can play different spots. There's a lot of flexibility in the defensive backfield. The coolest thing is about Cincinnati's defense is their defensive coordinator pretty much puts in what their defense is going to be. So if 1 week it needs to be a 4-3, if 1 week it needs to be a 3-4, if 1 week it needs to be a cover 2 front for most of the time, he will change the defense around. So he wants dudes that can be versatile. Hill and Taylor-Britt are great chess pieces that'll help out with what he's trying to do. Last year, the team had 13 interceptions, 17 forced fumbles, 42 sacks. Trey Hendrickson had 14, so he had about a third of his team's sacks. A lot of people thought that they were going to try to find a pass rusher in the draft, and they didn't. They went defensive back. So there's a lot of pressure on Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard to be just as good as they were last year, because at linebacker, they are not so. All right, here we go. I'm all in on the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow is a legitimate MVP candidate last year. Nobody ended the season hotter. I think the Bengals figured out during the year exactly how to use skill sets of their players. I think there's a serious parallel to draw between the wide receiver room of Chase, Higgins, and Boyd and the old school 90s Minnesota wide receiver room of Randy Moss, Chris Carter, and Jake Reed. Think about that shit.
Right.
And that's huge, bro. So, the offensive line is loaded now. The secondary is upgraded. The Bengals don't feel like they were a playoff team that got hot. They feel like this is the core and that this is the core that goes all the way. But in a loaded AFC, like, man, the AFC playoffs next year are going to be bonkers. If the Bengals were in the NFC, they're in the NFC. Right?
Right. Yeah.
But in order to make it to the Super Bowl, in the AFC, you got to go through Kansas City, Buffalo, the Chargers. You know, it's going to be tough. I think there's a good chance that they make it through at least a couple of those, and an even greater chance that we see the Bengals in the Final Four. Sure. I think that this team can beat Kansas City, Buffalo, and the Chargers. So, let me pull up the Bengals schedule real quick. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yep.
All right. The Bengals start the season at home against Pittsburgh. And then they play away at Dallas and the Jets. They're at home against the Dolphins. They go away against the Ravens and the Saints. They are at home against the Falcons. They play at Cleveland. And then they play against the Panthers at home. They go away against the Steelers and Titans. They're at home against the Chiefs and the Browns. Oof. They're away at the Bucks and the Patriots. And then their last two games are at home against the Bills and the Ravens.
Wow.
Not an easy schedule, my guy. But
I feel like at least a handful of those games are potential shootout wins. But yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I have the Bengals going 11-6.
Wow. I was going to put them at 12.
12-5.
Yeah.
The Vegas line is 9.5.
What?
9.5. We are both over.
Man, even
a significant margin.
I gotta put a bet in on that. I mean, yeah. They're at least gonna get 10 wins.
Yeah, I agree. So that's the Bengals. So now we've done everybody but the Chicago Bears. We have done 31 of 32 football teams. Let's take it home, dude. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears.
Bear down, the home team, Chicago Bears. 6-11 last year. Showed some promise from Fields.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he's everything that he's getting all the hype for. The Bears are trying. I mean, we overhauled the entire coaching staff this year.
The entire front office, too.
Yeah. I mean, so we're trying to build this team around Fields. Let's just start with the coaching staff. We've got new head coach, Matt Eberflus. He was the former defensive coordinator in Indy last year. And of course he hired a bunch of new guys to help him out. We got Luke Getsy at offensive coordinator. We've got Alan Williams as the new defensive coordinator and Richard Hightower as the new special teams coordinator.
I know Luke Getsy is a Packers guy.
Okay.
I do know that. I don't know where the defensive coordinator comes from, but I know that they're modeling on the Indy Green Bay offense.
Yeah, heavy offense, yeah.
Yeah.
So some notable players that left. Obviously, number one, Allen Robinson's gone. He went to the Rams, where maybe he'll get a Super Bowl ring. But we'll
see.
I hope
so, man. I hope so. This organization, fuck that, man.
I know, right? We let go of Nick Foles. We let go of Tariq Cohen, and then he tried to have a workout and live streamed ACL tear?
It was an Achilles.
Achilles?
I feel so bad for that dude.
And apparently you could hear it. Apparently you could hear it on the video.
I love Tariq Cohen.
I didn't watch it. Man, that year that he played.
Yeah. 2018 was an awesome year.
Yeah. Yep. Man, another shock. We got rid of Eddie Goldman. We also got rid of Khalil Mack to the Chargers. And guess what we got for Khalil Mack? A second round pick this year and a 2023 sixth round pick.
We got more. I mean, like, I think that he's been hurt so much the last couple of years. The fact that they got something out of it makes sense.
That's true. Tony's boy, Jesper Horsted, failed
That's
the
your
physical.
Boy. Shut up. Get out of here.
I know.
That's your boy.
I know. He failed the physical and was waived.
Yeah, it's too bad. Akeem Hicks is gone.
Yeah, Hicks. Yeah, we just, he went to Detroit.
No, he's nowhere. He's just sitting on free agency.
We also got rid of Danny Trevathan.
Yep.
Your boy Jakeem Grant is with the Browns now. He's with the Browns. You had so high hopes for him last year.
They used him the way I thought they were going to use him for.
I know. So those are the notable names. Obviously, they're pretty big names in terms of the Bears' offense and defense.
James Daniels, too. James Daniels, the guard leaving, is a big deal.
Right. And, I mean, the Bears have done so much in free agency. The list is a mile long. I'll just go through a handful of them.
Yeah, give me the highlights.
Maybe a couple handfuls. Let's see. Tight ends, we picked up James O'Shaughnessy. We picked up Ryan Griffin. Griffin from the Jets, O'Shaughnessy from the Jags.
Ryan's so happy right now.
I know. They're going to both combine for 10-plus touchdowns. let's see. We picked up two backup quarterbacks, Nathan Peterman and Trevor Siemian. We all know Trevor Siemian from Denver.
Yep.
And actually, Siemian is a product of Northwestern. So
yep.
You never know if Fields gets in. Fields gets injured, Siemian can come in and feel like he's playing on his home turf, maybe get a little pep in his step.
And if you live in Evanston, you never know if you'll see Trevor Siemian shopping at Whole Foods.
Yeah, that's true. Who else here? We got St. Brown from the Packers, who we talked about earlier. We got Byron Pringle from Kansas City, who what's going on with his legal shit?
Nothing that I've heard of. He's been at OTAs. He's been working out with Fields.
Okay.
He's around.
Interesting pickup at fullback. We got Kari Blasingame to help out Montgomery, and we'll see what happens with that. Who else? We got Julian Davenport, outside tackle from the Colts.
Who's the interior lineman that they got from Green Bay?
Morrow? Was it Nicholas Morrow?
No, that's linebacker from the Raiders. Like, that's going to be a good piece in defense if he can stay healthy.
I didn't write down who we got the picks from. There's Joe Thomas, Noah Dawkins.
Yeah, there was one of the starters from Green Bay's offense last year. The Bears signed a guard. They signed interior lineman. I mean, the new general manager is an offensive lineman, so he wants as many.
We got a lot of linemen. Matt Adams from the Colts.
Yeah.
Greg Stroman, cornerback.
Okay.
Yeah, Lucas Patrick.
Lucas Patrick. That's the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, so Quadin Muhammad, defensive tackle. Dakota Dozier, another lineman.
Yeah, it's just like the Lions. These are all like one-year contract guys that are just going to fill out depth spots. You know, like the problem is when people are undervaluing the Bears, they're saying that they got rid of all the old guys, but all the old guys were hurt, dude. Mack was always hurt. Hicks was always hurt. Goldman was always hurt. Cohen didn't play in 2 years. Robinson, like, the offense stopped throwing to Robinson last year. Like, those dudes didn't contribute. So, it's not a giant step down because the big names weren't starting last year anyway.
And I feel like the Bears have done a lot to boost up their secondary. Because let's face it. So the Bears allowed 31 pass touchdowns last year, which is tied for their second most allowed in franchise history. So they need to address their secondary.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't come anywhere near those numbers this year. However, the Bears are on paper supposed to have one of the worst O-lines this year. So that doesn't help Fields at all.
Well, can I give you a point for optimism here?
Okay.
So the Bears want to run the same type of offense for running that the Browns use. It's going to be a heavy outside zone, almost like a San Francisco, Cleveland, Green Bay wide zone. So like they value athletic offensive linemen because they're always going to be. So I think if you're playing towards a more run and then play action based offense, I think there's a chance that like you might have some bad offensive linemen, but they have the chance to get better because you're finding guys to do a very specific thing.
Sure.
Like you don't need to be perfect at everything if they're not asking you to do everything. And I think that's my hope for my optimism. I could be totally wrong. I'm a Bears fan. You know, we could go either. This could go either way. It could be awful.
Yeah, I mean, with all these new people, it's going to be tough for this team to develop chemistry on any type of level. Because, like you said earlier, all these guys are on 1 year contracts. What's their point of investing, quality time with a lot of these players when they know they're just not going to be on this team next year?
The Bears have, I think, the fourth most salary cap space next year in football.
Excellent.
Because all of the contracts, the dead money is off the books. So, the thought is a lot of these guys are playing for a second contract here in Chicago. And there is leadership on this team. You know, Fields is a leader. Mooney's a leader. Montgomery, Matt's a leader. Roquan's a leader. Jalen Johnson is a leader. Eddie Jackson's a leader. Like, they have leaders on this team. It's not everyone's looking and they're like, this team has got nothing. It's like, no, Robert Quinn is still a good football player, dude.
Right. Do you want to look at the draft?
Yeah, let's talk about the draft.
Okay. So Bears had 11 picks. They obviously didn't have their first round pick, a first round pick. So let's start with round two, number 39, Kyler Gordon, cornerback from Washington. Like I said, they needed to invest in their defense. Round two, number 48, another defensive player, Jaquan Brisker, safety from Penn State. That should be a good pick. Kind of a surprise to me. I don't know, Tony, how you felt about this one, but at round three, number 71, Velus Jones, wide receiver from Tennessee.
Well, I want to talk about Gordon and Brisker real quick.
Sure.
So when the Bears were doing simulations before the draft, Kyler Gordon never made it to their spot, never made it to 39. So when they were doing their research, Ryan Poles, the general manager, told his scouts, like, don't even pick him there because he's not going to be there. Like, if he lands there, like, disregard that mock algorithm because that one's not realistic. So the fact that, like, they got Gordon at 39, they, like, smashed accept. They were like, I thought this dude was going in the first.
Yeah.
And so their plan, according to something that I read in the Athletic, I think it was Kevin Fishbane, Brisker, who they got at 48, was their planned pick at 39.
Really?
Yeah. So I think the pick of Velus Jones in round three reflects that I think the way the Bears were going to go was they were going to go Brisker at 39, and then they were going to go receiver at 48 and take in a Pickens or a Sky Moore or an Alec Pierce, because those guys all went in the 50s. But since Gordon fell to 39 and then Brisker was there at 48, I think they were like, we'll just get the best receiver at 71 that we can and go from there.
Sure.
And I do know that Justin Fields and Ryan Poles sat down and watched a lot of tape on wide receivers together. And Fields identified Velus Jones as a player that he would like to throw to. So I don't think it's a great pick, because I don't think he's going to return a ton of value, but I think that he's going to be a guy that will still be on the Bears when the Bears are good.
Excellent. Yeah. So we did not have a fourth round pick, but we had 3 5s, 2 6s, and 3 7s. So round five, number 168, Braxton Jones, tackle from Southern Utah. Round five, number 174, Dominique Robinson, edge rusher. Round five, number 186, Zach Thomas, San Diego State. Round six, number 203, Tristan Ebner, a running back from Baylor. What do you think about him?
Ebner?
Yeah.
So he's the running back four right now, because you got Montgomery, Herbert, Darrington Evans, who they signed this year from Tennessee,
right,
and then Ebner. So Ebner's like a 4.4 speed guy. He can be a slot guy. He can be a running back that catches passes. He can even be, he's like a change of pace guy.
Sure.
He's small and not strong. He's 5'10", 206, but he is fast. And so outside zones, like, you want a guy like Raheem Mostert, right? And so Ebner's got that build. So I think that he might not get a ton of looks, but there, if he's worth something, it's the team's going to find it. Like, think about who the running backs are on this team. None of them were guys that this regime brought in. So this is just who they're left with. So yeah, these true. Two guys, Evans and Ebner, are the dudes that they brought in that they like for their scheme.
Okay. Round six, number 207, Doug Kramer, center from Illinois. And then our round sevens, number 226, Jahtir Louder, outside tackle. Number 254, Elijah Hicks, safety from Cal. And number 255, Trenton Gill, punter. The fourth punter taken in the draft, setting a record for punters taken in a draft.
from North Carolina. You know who I like a lot? I like Elijah Hicks. I think Elijah Hicks is going to be one of those. I think he's going to be one of those like special teams guys, like core special teams guys. That's always fucking shit up.
Yeah,
I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a lot of fun. I think he makes this team. But yeah, like the Bears only had a few picks, so they traded back a few times to get all those dart throws. And I love it. I'm all about it. Like run it back as much as possible.
Yeah, it was crazy watching the draft because you're like, oh, Bears got the next pick. No, wait, what? Did they just trade?
Right.
God damn it.
Right. I think this team's offense is going to be a lot of runs, a lot of play actions. I think you're going to see some two tight ends. You're going to see some two wide receivers. You're going to see fullback and running back, I formation type stuff. I don't think they have a lot of time in the pocket
right.
to get out of there. Hopefully there's less of that this year. Because the Colts or the Browns, teams that are going to just try to beat you by being efficient and staying on the field more often.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited because I'm a Bears fan, but I don't think they're going to be as good as we always hope. But
what's their schedule? Run it through. Let's do it.
All right. So their schedule, honestly, they have one of the easier schedules in the NFC North this year. We start the season at home against San Francisco.
Ugh.
Then we got Green Bay in Lambeau. Then we got a home game in Houston. Then we go away for the Giants and away for Minnesota. We've got Washington at home. Then we go away again to New England and away again to Dallas, then two more home games, Miami and Detroit, then two more away games at Atlanta and at the Jets. And the only saving grace for the Bears at the end of the season is the four out of their five last games are all at home. So they've got Green Bay, Philly, Buffalo. Then the second to last game of the year, they go in Detroit.
Okay.
And then they got Minnesota at home the last game.
I'm gritting my teeth, man. I don't like how that sounds. I just put down six.
I mean, that's what I wrote down too, but I almost want to make it seven. I'll say seven.
Then we are split. Because the line is 6.5.
Damn, really?
Yeah, 6.5. We split.
Okay. All right.
Speaking of splits, let's do our division by division fantasy rosters, and then let's get the hell out of here.
Sure. I think we're almost 2 hours this time.
Yeah, I think we're getting close to 2 hours. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, we were like, hey, let's make this a little shorter. No.
Yeah.
All right. So my lineup is kind of chalk. I didn't really pick any rookies because it's hard to pick anyone outside of Cincinnati Bengals in your division this week.
Right.
So quarterback, I went Burrow. Running backs, I went Nick Chubb and Najee Harris. Wide receivers, I went Ja'Marr Chase. And instead of being chalk and picking Higgins, I went with Amari Cooper. Let's see what he does.
Okay.
Let's see what he does.
All right. Fuck it. Why not?
And then super chalk tight end Mark Andrews.
Yeah. Nailed it. I'm going no surprises here. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson. I still say right now Darnell Mooney, second best wide receiver in the division. So I would take him over Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then my tight end is TJ Hockenson.
Hell yeah.
Yep. So we're going to end it here. Craig, we put a lot of stress on you this week. Hopefully you came through. Next week, Ryan will be on vacation. We'll come back with something different. But then in 2 weeks, we'll figure out how to kill some summertime.
Yeah.
Before mini camps start and all that kind of boring shit.
I mean, we're almost in June. That means July will have some more news start coming out of camps. August will be preseason.
We're about to make it through a whole offseason. Crazy.
That is crazy.
All right. Well, let's call it for here. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Craig, you're awesome. Keep doing it. If you fucked up, I'll kill you. Ryan, it was good seeing you, man.
Good seeing you. That was all 32 teams in, what, 4 weeks?
Yeah, I'm proud of us. We'll figure out what we'll do next, but it's got to be research, man. It was so much fun.
Yeah, this was awesome. So, yeah, we'll see everyone in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's time to shut it down.
If you ask someone from Wisconsin about Wi-Fi, they're like, wait, what do you mean, brats?